Thank you for listening to the Harvest Church Cary podcast. We are a church that seeks to understand the gospel, love our community, and live on mission. For more information, please visit our website at harvestchurchcary.com.
Amen. Amen. Happy New Year's to you guys. I feel like we've been in a little, just a wave. The holidays, they just don't stop coming. New days, big days. Anybody in here want to give me a little go Falcons today? I know I'm in Panther country, but I'm a Georgia boy, so I'm all Falcons today. Any dog fans in the house? Tomorrow's a big day for us dog fans. Also, go Clemson Tigers. Definitely no Roll Tides here. Don't know if you are here and you're a Roll Tide. There's prayer after the sermon. Feel free to come grab some. I hope you guys are well. If you're like me, we've been on a steady diet of family and sweets, and the sugar cookies have just now gotten out of the house, and here we are getting ready to head into 2018, and just really consider it a joy every year to just spend the first week of January in an emphasized prayer week. Sermon today on prayer, an encouragement this week to intentionally point yourself in a posture of prayer toward the Lord, toward worshiping and honoring Him, toward your community group, the folks around you, your family, these people that you're in life with, to be praying for them, to be praying for Harvest Church, that this year, 2018, would just be a year of the fruit of the gospel being born here at our church, with lives saved by the grace of God, transformed by the grace of God, that we would just see and experience just real, tangible fruit of the gospel being born up out of this place. To spend some time in prayer for just our country, our nation, the world, the nations, the unreached people groups of the world. Just a great time to focus ourselves there. And this morning, opposed to whatever you may think, really going to just have a short sermon and then spend some time in prayer at the end of the sermon. Because regardless of what you may or may not believe, I really believe that the best way to get better at prayer is just praying. And if we could just start out with a little slice of practice as we kick off our 2018 year, even if it's just a little sliver here all together, I think it would just point us in a good direction. And so with that, I want to just kind of dive us in. And we're going to be in several different texts this morning, but really going to anchor ourselves in, at least to start here, in Romans 12, where Paul, he makes one, it's one specific verse here in Romans 12:12, where he talks about prayer. And he says in Romans 12:12, he says, "Rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer." That word "constant" carries really the idea of devoted, but not even so much as like devoted in the sense of like white knuckles, 47 hours a day prayer. Like the old adage of like, how do I pray constantly idea. It's more like devoted in the sense of purpose, in the sense of an all-encompassing devotion. Be like totally devoted to prayer. I've said it another way. Be totally devoted really to dependency on the Lord. Carry a decidedly intentional, purpose-filled focus toward the Lord that manifests itself in prayer. This words, these petitions that go up to the Lord. It's not on the screen, but I thought that Paul Bunyan had a great definition of prayer. And he said, prayer is a sincere, sensible, and affectionate pouring out of the heart and soul to God through Christ and the strength and assistance of the Holy Spirit. It's sincere. It's not religious. It's not, I'm just praying because I feel like I need to pray more in 2018. It's just sincere from wherever that's coming. It's sensible. It's you. It's not, you're not trying to Google the famous eloquent prayers of some righteous saint forever ago. You're praying your sensible prayers about your life, about your heart, about yourself that makes sense in light of who and where you are. And they're affectionate. They're not cold. They're hot with your heart that's coming out of your situation in life, where you're at, what you're wrestling with. And they're all just placed out before the merciful, gracious throne of God. the sovereign one who reigns and rules over all things and who gives us access there because of Christ and who empowers our prayer and causes our prayers to have great effect because of the power of the Holy Spirit, which raised Christ from the dead. So this idea of being devoted to prayer, constant in prayer, intentionally focused in a dependence upon the Lord that manifests itself out in prayer. Now, what's interesting about a week like prayer week and a sermon on prayer is that most likely I'm not going to say most likely anything about prayer this morning, and you're just going to go like, whoa, I never heard that ever before. That just blew my mind. Like, I should pray, or I ought to pray, or prayer is great, or prayer works, or God wants me to pray. Like, we know this stuff. And what I also know is that in myself and in my experience, most if not all, I won't say all, but a lot, if not most, maybe is a better way to say it, Christians, maybe you, likely you, operate with some low-level sense of guilt as it's related to your prayer life. I don't pray as much as I should. I don't pray as faith-filled as I should. I don't pray as ferociously as I should. I don't pray as expectantly as I should. Usually, when we think about prayer, with the exception of maybe a few people, as I should usually is in the conversation about prayer. Frequency, ferocity, faith in the prayers, all of those things. And yet, what I also know is that guilt and shame are not a good motivator for holiness. And so what would be a waste of our time is to guilt and shame us into praying more into 2018 because we feel dirty and ugly from 2017 because we didn't pray a whole lot or we missed some opportunities or whatever. And so now we just feel really bad about ourselves and really dirty and ugly. And so how are we going to get clean and how are we going to feel better and how are we going to have a good day tomorrow or a good year next year is we're just going to pray more. And that guilt and shame is a bad motivator. And why it's a bad motivator, and if any of us are honest for a minute, it's because that guilt and that shame, it has a short wick to drive us to holiness. It will get us there, but it will not keep us there. Over the long haul, guilt and shame motivates us actually not to run into the Lord, but probably to retreat away, to pull ourselves back. And rather, what motivates us into the throne room, into relationship with the Lord, into the pursuit of holiness with a long wick, in a way that will keep us and hold us there, is the grace and mercy of God. It's the love of God in the person of Christ. It's the lavished grace on us in the life and death and resurrection of Jesus. And getting a hold of the fact that we approach a throne in prayer that we can approach, that is secured for us, that is sure for us, not because of our righteousness, but because of Christ's righteousness. And not because of our diligence to be there, but because of Christ's diligence to be there. And those realities actually will hold us in prayer. And so this idea, though, of being devoted to prayer, it's not foreign to the Bible, obviously. You think about the book of Acts, and there's a slide up here where it just talks about the early church, and as they were getting going, and Jesus had sent the Holy Spirit, and they were getting ready to go to Judea and Jerusalem and Samaria and to the ends of the earth, and all of these crazy things like the Great Commission, and they had never been outside of the town limits, and you start to see these believers live as Christians without Jesus right there with them, helping them out, and you just see that they, Acts 1:14, were with one accord devoting themselves to prayer. 2:42, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship and to the breaking of bread and the prayers. Acts 6:4, the leaders of the church said, we will devote ourselves to prayer and the ministry of the word. And then Colossians 4:2 says, continue steadfastly. That's the same word as in Romans 12:12, this devotion, continue devotedly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. So we've got this notion of devotion to prayer, this steadfast, intentional focus to depending on the Lord, sitting there with Him, quietening ourselves before the sovereign of the universe to be with Him, to receive from Him, to petition before Him, that we come to Him like children. And as we think about this idea of devotion and this notion of our low-level guilt and shame, this is what I really just want the grace of God to debunk for us. And maybe this is where you are, and that is that your devotion in prayer wanes because you either feel not good at it, maybe. I'm not good at prayer. I don't know how to pray. I'm not just great at this thing. Or maybe you feel broken. You feel sinful. You feel dirty. You feel unworthy. You feel depressed, anxious. You're not a hero. You're not righteous. You're not excelling. You're not strong. You're not full of joy. And so you're like, I am this broken down, slobbery mess, and I don't feel like going before God in prayer makes a whole lot of sense. And that is how our self-centered, sort of narcissistic minds want to think, because we want to think about ourselves in a good light, and then we want God and others to see ourselves in that light. And the problem with that is the gospel is just the opposite of our self-centered, narcissistic lives. Because God says it's not the heroes who've got it all together and who are perfectly righteous, strong, and full of joy to come to me. He says, you who are weary and heavy laden, come to me and I'll give you rest. And there's likely you in the room, and right now you're saying, I'm weak, I'm heavy laden, I'm burdened. And God is saying, don't come to me when you're strong and not burdened and you've got it all together. He says, come to me right now with your just jumbled, mumbled craziness. Come to me with that and I'll give you rest. He doesn't say right in the Psalms that a prideful, pious, perfectly righteous spirit he will not cast off. He says a broken and contrite heart you will not despise. If your heart is broken, if your situation coming out of 2017 isn't all rock stars and roses and sunshine, if it's broken and contrite, if it's confused, if it's disillusioned, you're in a great position to pray. You should hear the resounding invitation of God, come to me. Come to me. The heart of prayer is come to me. Be with me in prayer. Devotion with prayer cultivates intimacy with Christ. I'm just going to talk about a few reasons not having to do with our energy or our effort or our white knuckles on the handlebars of prayer that I hope will, in God's grace, awaken the flame of our hearts toward prayer and why pray and why be devoted to prayer. Why? Because prayer cultivates intimacy with Christ. If Christmas season says anything to us, it is that God, in saving us, was not about just offering to us a life raft from afar. He did not just say, I have a recipe and I'm going to send it in a carrier pigeon and drop it off to these people so they can have it from afar. No, he, as we read from John 1 this morning, became flesh. He came here. And he came here because we are here. He could have, in his sovereign will and his wisdom, constructed the plan of redemption in a million different ways, and yet he came because we are here and he wants us. We're the bride of Christ, the Bible says. Maybe that may be a weirdly sappy way for you to think about yourself this morning, and maybe you're a rough, tough, muscle man who wears a shirt that's a little bit too small and you don't shed tears and you're not emotional, and yet you got to situate yourself in some degree to the fact that God is not relating to you on a transactional boss man level. He is a Savior who's with us and longs for relationship with us, and inside of asking us to pray, he's not saying, say the right words. Get your eloquent speech down. He's not even saying, spend more literal time with me. He's saying, I just want you. Come be with me because I'm the groom and you're the bride and we're going to be together forever. And I just want you to get with me. And devotion to prayer is our alleyway into that intimacy. And if anybody shows us this, it's Jesus, right? Like, I'm a weak, fledgling, failing man who measures the tracks for laundry room doors wrong and has to do all sorts of stuff poorly, because I'm a fallible, broken person. Like, I understand why I need prayer and why I need God, right? Like, I wake up, I trip over my shadow, I snooze my alarm clock, I mess things up. Like, it's clear I don't have my life together. I need some help. But Jesus, the sinless, perfect, no mistakes, no flaws, no screw-ups ever, Son of God, shows us that the reason to pray is intimacy with the Father. It's connection with the Father. The one who knew the will of God, who was perfectly in unity with the Father over and over again in the Gospels, prays. And if the Son of God, who is perfectly God and knows every thought and intention of God and has all the power of God and commands waves and they stop and diseases and they flee and leprosy and it's healed and deafness and it's gone, if he prays, then the reason for prayer has to get oriented around that. And over again, Mark 1:35, rising very early in the morning, while it was still dark, he departed and went into a desolate place, and there he prayed. Luke 5, but now even more, the report about him went abroad, and great crowds gathered to hear him and to be healed of their infirmities, but he would withdraw to desolate places and pray. Luke 6, in these days he went out to the mountain to pray, and all night he continued in prayer to God. Matthew 14, 23, and after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. Jesus, the Son of God, knew that there was an experience of life, a power source for life, a communion with the Lord that only could happen in isolated, intentional, devoted time of communing with the Lord in intimacy. Jesus, as the Son of God, was also fully man, and he knew that he could not walk the pathway of the Savior in pure, sinless perfection. He could not deal with the onslaught of oppression and scorn and mockery and Pilate and death and diseases. He couldn't just do that on his own. He knew that he was made to press into communion with the Father. He knew that he had that communion. He was the Son of God. He knew that he was with the Father. John 17 is just talking about that you and me are one, and I am in you and you are in me. And yet he knew that there was this experiential reality to prayer where what was true of him became true in his life. Where what was a reality of him as the Son of God worked its way into his practice as he pressed into intimacy. And it is through prayer in the Word of God that we step into and press into intimacy. You think about John, where John talks about Jesus as the good shepherd. He talks about the sheep. Hear the voice of the shepherd. Like, that doesn't sound to me like rote, cold, I just got to pray more in 2018. That sounds like there's a shepherd, and I got to get somewhere where I can hear him. Because I want to be with him, and I need to hear what he's saying to me, and I want to press into that place in prayer. And while acronyms may be great, and you may have like an ACTS acronym or a FADES acronym is one that John Piper uses, and you may sit down and you may do all of that, and it may be adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication. It may be formed and free and alone and assembled and whatever, 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 and yet all of that is fine insofar as it's just a channel of your sincere self pressing into the throne of grace of God. Because those are just tools. And where acronyms fail us is if we don't watch out, we'll just shoot through the acronym. ACTS, I got my prayer down for the day. Or you may think, well, if I don't adore before I give thanksgiving, then God's not going to hear me. It's not like you go to God and you say, God, help me. I'm broken. I'm anxious. I'm in despair. And God says, actually, you need to adore me first before I will hear you say that. Like, that's not how the acronym works. And maybe you type A people need to get just freed up in your acronym a little bit to move about in there. To let your sincere, authentic, affectionate self come before the Lord and say, here I am. I'm seeking you. I need to be with you. Let me press into the place where you are. And if you're alone, if you're disillusioned, if you're confused, if you're anxious, if you're weak, if you're broken, if you're helpless, if you're caught in the trap of sin, if you're self-destructing yourself with your idols, the first and foremost thing that you need is to abide with Christ. You need to be deeply with Jesus. You need to connect yourself to the vine. And how you connect yourself to the vine is by laying yourself out before the vine dresser, before the Lord, who gives freely to us. That if we who are parents love our children and delight to give them a good gift, and you know, my son doesn't ask for a Pop-Tart and I sling a rock at his head, right? No, that's not how I operate. I don't do that. And God's not hearing us coming before him with our praise and our petitions. And newsflash, if you're a child of God, the good that he has for you, he has not got tight-fisted from you. He's not hiding his good stuff from you, asking you to somehow use prayer as some riddle or some lock that you got to figure out how to navigate. Prayer is not an impossible riddle. Prayer is an invitation into intimacy. And let's just drop the idea that this lock is some sort of crazy, like from a mythology lock. We've got to do some kind of crazy spiritual calisthenics to find the right angle and the right key to unlock this door. No, it's just God saying, come, lay yourself out here. Cast your burdens on me, for I care for you. I'm a refuge in time of trouble for you. You know what that says? It says the door is open, people of God. He's a rock and a refuge. Run to me in your time of need. And when you get there, guess what? The door's open. You don't get there and have to do a Rubik's cube to get the door to open. His grace is saying, fall on me, enter me. I'm here. I've got everything that you need. And would we be devoted to prayer because our hearts catch a glimpse of the joy and the rest and the relief that is intimacy with Christ, closeness with the Lord. But also, a devotion to prayer cultivates maturity in Christ. A devotion to prayer cultivates maturity in Christ. We want to be maturing in Christ. If you're in this room, our heart as the pastors of Harvest Church is that everyone who's a member at Harvest for sure, and anybody that's here that's a follower of Jesus, that you mature in the faith. That 2018 is a year of you growing, gaining some muscles, flexing some new muscles that you didn't know that you had, covering some new ground that you didn't know was there, learning some new gifts that you didn't know God had given you, that you begin to do some new things, right? It's like my little daughter, Emmy, she's 10 months old, and it's like, or 8 months old, and I hope that by the time your next birthday gets here, but by the time a year's here from now, you're either crawling or you're holding your own spoon or you're doing a few things, and right? And if you're not, we're going to the doctor and hospitals and different things to try to diagnose, like, what's going on here? And I think I mentioned this a couple sermons ago, but because we can't see God and because we can't see prayer, right? We can't, it's not like a powder comes out of our mouth that we can see going somewhere and doing something when we're praying. We can sort of etherealize prayer. And we can think that the things we're praying for, the growth that we're hoping for, the fruit of the Spirit that we want to see born in our lives, that we should just like go to sleep tonight, pray really hard, want patience or joy or forgiveness or willpower or perseverance or whatever you're praying for, and that if you just close your eyes hard enough and squint your eyes hard enough and want it bad enough, you're going to wake up January 1st, 2018, and it's just going to be there. It's just going to poof, because we can't see it, that it's just going to poof into existence. And yet God has said to us, the same way you would pursue growth in any other area of your life, I've given you means of grace by which to pursue growth in the Spirit. Colossians, I'm just going to read this verse over us. It's just a prayer. And as I read this, almost like a prayer, just sit and listen to it. And as you hear my words, just pray it even into your own self that God would do some of this in your heart. And so from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will and all spiritual understanding and wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. May you be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. That's Paul praying this prayer over these people. Was he praying for them? I'm praying that you would be filled up with the knowledge and wisdom of God, that your life would be pleasing to God as it bears fruit, that you would be strengthened with power in your inner person according to God's glory, that you might endure this life with joy. He knew trials and tribulations were coming for them. And he says, we do all that giving thanks to the Father who's qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. In some sense, right, prayer for the children of God is a means by which we can begin to lay a hold of the inheritance that is already ours in Christ. In Christ, we will inherit full peace, full life, full joy, full forgiveness, full liberation from sin, full liberation from idolatry. We will get the full inheritance of Christ. And in prayer, we just begin to grab a hold of that now. That we who have been qualified by Christ for that inheritance would in prayer grab a hold of it now. And in some sense of the word, increasing in maturity in Christ is simply increasing how much of that inheritance we're already grabbing. How much of that joy and peace and endurance and patience and kindness and goodness and gentleness, all of that stuff that's stored up for us and secured for us in Christ, grabbing more and more and more and more of it with the faith-filled arms of prayer, right? We're praying because of Christ, empowered by the Spirit of Christ, to the Father, and in that faith, we're grabbing more of what is secured for us in eternity until one day we grab it forever. And in that sense, that maturity in Christ is saying, I'm not doing this. This isn't mine. I'm just getting more of what Jesus has gotten for me. I'm not more patient. Don't look at me, the patient one, or the meek one, or the humble one, or the whatever one. Jesus is that. I'm just grabbing on to more of it in prayer. And so, that liberates prayer from my need to become something or be something as a part of, or as a result of prayer. No, prayer is my means of simply asking Jesus, God, in the power of your Spirit, make me more like Jesus. Give me the faith and the heart to grab a hold of more of what Jesus has bought for me, the faith to repent of sin and to leave my idols and to move into maturity. And Paul would sort of show his cards at the end of chapter 1 when he says that all of this was prayed and done and proclaimed in verse 28, him we proclaim warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom that we may present everyone mature in Christ. His heart was that these believers in Colossae would be mature in Christ. And he's praying, God, would you make them mature in Christ? And would we hear that prayer and be compelled to devote ourselves to a similar prayer that would produce in us a maturity? So in that kind of progression, right, in 2018, in this spirit of prayer, our first goal is to be in love with Jesus. The first goal of 2018 is be in love with Christ. And the second goal is be mature in Christ. That those who are in love with Jesus would be progressively becoming more like Jesus. And God, help us from exerting all of our energy to trying to become more like Jesus while circumventing the step of falling in love with Jesus. We do not want to be a praying people, a maturing people, minus a heart that loves Jesus. And if you're new with us here at Harvest, this is kind of what we say every week here. We are just about Jesus. We want to love Jesus. We want to preach the Bible because it's about Jesus. We want to center ourselves on the gospel because it's about Jesus. And if we can be anything in 2018, let's just be a people in love with Jesus. And this kind of enrapturement with Jesus, this fullness, is also what Paul kind of grabs when he talks in Ephesians 3 about comprehending with all the saints what is the breadth and height and length of the love of God, so that you may be filled up to the fullness of God. It's this massive, massive prayer. that Paul is saying, I want myself and you, and I'm saying to you, I want me and you to be full with the fullness of God that fills the whole world. Just full. So full that fear can't live there. So full that doubt can't live there. So full that sin and idols can't live there. So full that all of our distractedness can't live there. Just overcome with fullness. Like, so full of God. Like, full of God. Like, I'm going to be full of the Bulldogs at 5 o'clock tomorrow. Like, I mean, it's going to be me and the dogs tomorrow at 5. And you know, if the house starts burning down or one of my kids has got to go to the hospital, that may be the exception to the rule. But it's like, it's occupying my mind and my heart and I'm Googling, I'm blogging beforehand. And it's like, what's today? It's the Rose Bowl. And nothing else really matters in that moment because a flood has overwhelmed me. And God is saying, there's a better flood than the Georgia Bulldogs. It's the flood of the grace of God in the person of Jesus. And in prayer, it can rush into us and fill us to overflowing. Such that all of the trivial things and the idols and the sins and the other stuff that we entertain when we're distracted and when we're empty and when we're lazy begin to get washed away. Right? It's like that old hymn. When we turn our eyes upon Jesus and look full in his wonderful face, then the things of this earth just grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. When we get our eyes up there and our heart anchored there and we're in prayer before him and by his Spirit he's filling us with his love in Christ, then that website, it doesn't even matter anymore, and your bank account doesn't matter anymore, and your job, it doesn't necessarily matter anymore in light of those things, right? Because a surpassing glory, a transcending grace and love has filled you that reorients and redefines and reshapes the way we think about those things. Devote ourselves to prayer because it's a pathway to maturity in Christ. It's a means by which we broken vessels begin to grab a hold of eternity, grab a hold of what Jesus in his life and death and resurrection has already grabbed for us. And yet, as I prayed earlier, as I spoke earlier, just wanting to see the Lord's work abound here at Harvest, we want to devote ourselves to prayer because it cultivates missionary zeal for Christ. Prayer cultivates, right? It cultivates intimacy with Christ. It cultivates maturity in Christ, and it cultivates missionary zeal for Christ. You want your heart to get white hot for your spouse or your wayward kids or your neighbors or your coworkers or whoever is on your heart whose life is broken, whose soul is lost, who's miserable in their sins. Start praying for them by name, on purpose, with intentionality. God says by his Bible through the person in the mouth of Jesus in Luke 10, verse 2, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. The first thing he says to do in light of that is not work harder, make more programs, do more stuff, have more events. He says, therefore, pray. You want the harvest to happen? Pray. The harvest of salvation to happen? Pray. The harvest of God's grace transforming your life, your fears, your marriage, your finances, your whatever? Pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest, to send out laborers. The response to brokenness and lostness and desperation and contrition is a heart of prayer that presses into the Lord. What honestly are you dealing with right now? And if you said truthfully, it's burdening you, it's weighing you down, you can't see around it, and you may have used some acronyms, and you may have looked up some websites, and you may have given it a good religious Hail Mary try, but you've not laid it down. You've not run to the refuge. You've not sought the face of God and laid that thing there and asked him to take over that place. He's begging you right now, come to me. That person, that addiction, that mindset, that issue, that whatever it is, today, really lay it down before the Lord. Really run to the tower. Really, really lay it there. Really cast your burdens on him. Not in some eloquent way, not praying like Pastor Drew thinks you should pray, not praying like you read somebody pray in that book one time, just you and God and your stuff right there together doing work with each other. And would we allow our desire to see the grace of God invade the different places of our lives, whether it be our neighbors and their salvation or our sin issues or whatever, again, the brokenness is, would we engage that brokenness? Engage that labor field with prayer, because there's a Lord of the harvest and he desires to save and deliver, and he also desires to just transform and to reshape us by his grace. And would our heart for a harvest in our own hearts, in our own lives, in our neighborhoods, wherever we may be, would it drive us to pray? 2 Thessalonians 3:1 says, finally, brothers, Paul's asking for prayer. Pray for us that the word of the Lord may speed ahead and be honored as happened among you. As a pastor here at Harvest, I could not ask for you guys to do anything more than to pray that prayer. Get it on your mirror, put it in your planner, make a reminder on your phone for every Wednesday at 1 p.m. that you would just say, God, make your word speed ahead through Harvest Church. Just speed your word ahead. Prosper your word. Honor your word through Harvest Church. We desire that our city, Cary, Apex, Mooresville, Holly Springs, Fuquay, West Raleigh, you name it, would just be a saturated harvest field. That we would soak down this place in prayer. Every street, every nook, every cranny, every building, you name it, covered in prayer. We're just praying the rain of heaven down on this place because we're expecting the harvest to happen. It's the name of our church, by the way. You know what? Might be a good prayer to pray. Kind of goes along with the name. And as we pray that way, earnestly, to the Lord of the harvest, seeking that missionary zeal to fire up, we're not just praying hope upon hope. Whether it's for the salvation of your lost neighbor that you've been trying to evangelize for 5 years, getting nowhere, or whether it's praying for your 27-year-old son who's been far from Jesus for 12 years and you think it's hopeless, or whether it's your own slavery to sin that you can't seem to kick, whatever the harvest that you want to pray is, the reminder is that the answer to that prayer and your hope of its effect is not in the ferocity of your prayer or your own righteousness. It's in the finished work of Jesus. In Christ, all of our prayers and his promises are a yes and amen. That I am not my own means to seeing my prayer answered how I want it answered or answered effectively. Jesus Christ the righteous is. And in Psalm 2:8, God says, ask of me and I will give the nations as your inheritance and the very ends of the earth as your possession. God is saying, my son Jesus is purchasing a people from every nation. And if you ask of me, I will give that to you because I have given it to him. And spoken to the people of God about the ends of the earth, nothing could have seemed more impossible or unlikely than somehow the news of salvation come through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob ever have anything to do with a group of people in Cary, North Carolina. That would not have made any sense. And maybe your issue right now seems so far away and so distant and so impossible, you could not believe it to ever even be able to happen. And yet God is saying, ask of me. Ask of me for harvest in that spot, and I will do it. Not on the basis of how awesome you are, but on the basis of how awesome Jesus is for you and the power of his resurrected self who's at the right hand of the Father. And this morning, as we get ready to respond, don't leave any holds barred here. Is it your marriage? Is it your finances? Is it an addiction to some sort of sin or behavior pattern? Is it, what is it? Is it a petition? Is it a house? Is it a job? From breadcrumbs all the way to salvation for your lost son, let's just pray. Let's ask God to bring a harvest here. Let's ask him to do what only he can do by his Spirit. Let's do that. And so as we wrap this up, we're going to spend about 5 minutes in prayer. Husbands, dads, if you're here with your family and you want to pray together with your spouse or your family, that's fine. If you're here by yourself and you want to pray by yourself, fine. If you're here alone and you're an extrovert and you want to jump into a group of people that are praying, feel free to. But just pray how you want to. Get comfortable and pray there. Is it with somebody or is it alone? And I'm going to read some verses for us out of Ephesians 3. And they're going to be up on the screen. If you need help or prompts to usher you into prayer, just read through these verses and every so often just stop and either pray it or ask for it. But if something's on your heart heavy right now, a person, a relationship, an addiction, whatever, let's just spend some time before the throne room of God in faith-filled prayer, asking for Him to invade. So I'm going to read these verses for us, and then honestly, I'm going to step off the stage and pray for a while, and then I'll hop back up, and we will finish out our service here together. But I'm going to read these verses for us out of Ephesians 3. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of His glory, He may grant you to be strengthened with power through His Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. So let's just take some time, again, however you want to, wherever you want to, with whomever you want to, feel free to just pray through this passage or cast your burdens on the Lord if you're here and you're heavy laden and you're weak. I'm going to be down here in the front. If you want pastoral prayer during these minutes, please feel free to come down. I'm happy to pray for you. Otherwise, let's pray. If you're not a believer in the room, feel free to watch. Feel free to pray. But we're going to take some time as the people of God, and we're going to start this thing out right, and we're going to cast our cares upon the Lord. So you guys take a few minutes, and let's pray together. This morning, God, we pray that according to the riches of your glory, we would be strengthened with power in our inner being. That where we're weak, where our faith is weak, where our resolve against sin is weak, where our desires to repent and believe are weak, would you strengthen us in our inner being? God, we want to make room in our hearts for you. God, strip away the pride or the idolatry or the materialism or whatever it might would be that would crowd you out. And God, would you just inhabit our hearts? Would you fill our souls? God, and in this life where there's shifting shadows and tumultuous times and there seems to be everything in the world but stability, would you root us and ground us in your love? Would you steadfastly hold us in the finished work of Jesus? Would you show to us, God, the joy of community, of life together with the saints, with brothers and sisters, to love and to serve and to live life together with as we seek, God, to know you, to experience all of you, God, would you give yourself? Would you impart yourself to us? God, that we might truly be filled with the fullness of God. We want that fullness, God. Would you grant to us increased capacity to hold you? God, we want to contain more of you in our hearts. Would you allow us to do that, God? And ultimately, as weak, broken vessels, we want to ask for exceedingly abundantly more to happen in our lives than would make sense on paper, God, more in our marriages, more in our habits, more in our lifestyles, more in our giving and generosity, God, more in every place of our life. Would you just do more there? More intimacy and romance in marriages, God, more ferocity and missionary zeal to the lost, God, more yearning for intimacy with you, God, deeper maturity with you, God, more lives transformed by the gospel, God, more places of brokenness healed than we could ever imagine. God, pour your spirit out on us, God. Draw us into yourself. Cause us to yearn for repentance, to leave behind the sin and the entanglements that slow us down. And God, would we run hard and fast this race that you have laid out before us. God, we thank you so much for your love and your grace, and we ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.